Well, today we're in the second week of our series called Join the Movement, and I know we had a fun time talking about this last week. You may remember it was Fanny Pack Sunday. You never see a preacher wear a fanny pack, but on last Sunday, if you were here, you didn't miss that. It was a fun time for you guys, not so much for me. But anyway, we're talking about join the movement, and we're talking about in this series the four big ways that you can renew or refresh, if you will, your relationship with God. 2014. So the four big ways. And the reason I love this series is because these four things are really the DNA of the fountain. It's really kind of what I talked about a little bit ago, of just the way, the process of growing people, helping to be people to get connected with God, but also growing people up in God. So it helps you individually, but it's also a series about our vision of how you can join the movement to be part of what God is doing here in and through the fountain. And so when you talk about join the movement, first you got to think about what is movement. And I think it's helpful to think about the opposite. The opposite of movement is being stuck. Kind of give you an example real quick. When I'm driving in downtown Atlanta, y'all maybe been here before, you're driving downtown Atlanta, or if I'm on a long trip, one of the things that I dislike most is getting stuck in traffic. You know, it's one of those things that I can handle a little bit of traffic. I can handle a little bit of 0 to 20. And if there's a promise of possibly getting out of it, of moving forward. But have y'all ever really been stuck in traffic? I mean, when you're stuck in traffic, it's one of those things where your speedometer says 0 miles an hour for like an hour. And you're sitting there, and you for miles ahead, all you see is this sea of cars that are sitting there just like you. And you're looking at your watch, and maybe where you were supposed to go before is no longer an option. And you can't turn back to where you were because there's a sea of cars there. And so you're just stuck in traffic. You're really stuck in traffic when people start getting out of their cars, especially in Atlanta, downtown Atlanta, and they start talking to one another about what might be going on. And so maybe you've been stuck before like that. I think that's the opposite of what movement is. And I think this is helpful because in our lives, I think sometimes there are a lot of people that live their lives in the stuck position. They're kind of in that, kind of like stuck in traffic. See, we don't mean to be, but it just happens. It just happens when we don't have clear direction or focus. And so you find yourself kind of wandering along, meandering along with no special purpose, just kind of doing life for a lot of us, just staying busy. And it's one of those things where we're doing a lot of things, but we're not really going anywhere. And so we look back, and when we start a new year, it's good to look back over the last year and say, how do we do in this last year? Are we accomplishing the purposes we set out to accomplish? And oftentimes we realize, you might have heard this saying, I've got to find myself, or I've got to refine myself, or I've got to reprioritize things, or I've got to get unstuck somehow. And so in this series, it's really about how to have momentum, or how to have movement in your life, and also in your relationship with God. And so if you're here last week, like I said, it was Fanny Pack Sunday. If for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, you can check out pictures and stuff online, I'm sure. There was many. But here's kind of what we talked about. The first step in moving forward in your relationship with God is kind of a little counterintuitive. What we talked about last week, the first step is worship. Now, I know that sounds really like churchy and preachery, like the first step and like going where you want to go in life is worship. I mean, what is that? How is that going to help me in my job, in my family, in everything that I do? Well, we talked about Matthew 6:33, where Jesus is talking about worrying. And there's a lot of things we worry about. There's a lot of things that are on our hearts and minds, maybe even right now, that you're worried about. And Jesus is talking about all these things that we worry about constantly. And then he says this in Matthew 6:33, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And so most of us, we try to live our lives and we try to get everything else straight in our lives. And then we add Jesus on top of that. And we think, well, I've got to get everything straight and then I'll pursue my relationship with Jesus. But what Jesus is saying is that if we focus on the one big thing, if we focus on our relationship with him, then Jesus can shape every area of our life. And so worship is really how we can recenter our lives and our relationship on God, worshiping God. Worship is not just coming to worship. It is that. You can worship. It's not just an event, though. It's really a lifestyle. And so we talked about worship. Living a life of worship means focusing your attention on God, focusing your goals on God, and also loving God back. So that's what worship really is. And so we're not just to put Jesus in the fanny pack of our lives. That was kind of how we talked about fanny pack. Not just put Jesus in the fanny pack of our lives, zip Jesus back up and keep him like in a compartment tucked away, and pull Jesus out when it's comfortable. But Jesus wants to be the center of every single part of our life, not just a compartment. And so that's how you can renew your relationship with God in 2014. So today's message, we're kind of taking a turn, looking at the second way. And we're talking about our need to grow up in Christ. And so this sermon is called A Growing People Change. If you have your Bibles, why don't you turn to the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 5. Sounds like it's something in the Old Testament, but it's not. It's in the New Testament. It's almost in the very back. If you don't have a Bible, no worries. The words will be on the screen. And there's also free Bibles that we offer every Sunday at the Connection Point. So feel free to pick one up as you leave and write your name in it. Let that be our gift to you. But Hebrews chapter 5 is what we're looking at. And just to set this up as you're turning there, The writer of Hebrews, we don't know exactly who wrote Hebrews, but we know that he's talking a long time about all these things about Jesus being the great high priest, all these huge theological things about knowing who Jesus is. And then the writer just pauses for a minute and talks to the people that is written to and starts addressing their condition, their level of their faith. And so let's check out what the writer of Hebrews says, Hebrews chapter 5. I invite you this morning to stand in honor and reverence of the reading of God's word. We'll read verse 11, and then we'll go all the way to the beginning of 6:1. So it says this: "We have much to say about this, but it is hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food." Now, just to pause here. If you, who is it that has to live their lives drinking milk? Babies. That's right. That's kind of what he's trying to say here. So verse 13, he says, "Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use, they're constantly working at it, have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil." Now, the first part of 6 says, "Therefore, let us move forward. Let us move beyond elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. You can have a seat. Amen. Well, in my family's house growing up, and it's actually still there, there's a wall that's designated. It's kind of like the growth wall of our house. I'm the oldest of 5 kids, and so what's happened over time is the growth wall, I think I've kind of been erased from the growth wall. I'm the oldest kid, and so now, like, the younger ones have kind of taken over. But we have a growth wall that kind of tracks how we've grown throughout the years. I'm out of the house now, so I don't need to be on there. I'm not growing anymore anyway. But here's kind of what we would do. My mom and dad would often make us stand up against the wall. Maybe you do this if you have kids, or maybe you've done this before growing up, where you stand up really, really tall, and you kind of get an argument with your brothers and sisters about whether you're allowed to wear shoes or not because you want to be taller than them. That's how I am. I'm the shorty of the family, but I tell them I got all the good looks, so it equals out. Anyway, it's one of those things where you stand up really, really tall, and mom and dad would put a pencil mark or a pen mark and would mark where we are, how much we've grown. And they'd write my name on it and the date. And I could always look back and see, like, how much I've grown over time. And it's one of those things where growing up, especially if I was younger as a kid, if I hadn't shown much growth, if I haven't grown very much, especially as a younger kid, if I haven't seen growth change in a long time, it's a signal that maybe something's wrong. Maybe I'm not growing the way I'm supposed to, because growing people change. And I think it's the same way, really, with our relationship with Christ. See, God wants us to find salvation. God wants, in fact, this church is being planted to connect so many people who have no relationship with Christ, who aren't connected with church. This is like what we're about as a church. Not the only thing, but we've realized in this area that there's about 120,000 people within a 5-mile radius of this space that's not connected anywhere at a church. And so the heartbeat of this church is to say, that's not good enough. Like, we believe, and our goal is to lead all people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. That's why we say we're leading people to life, hope, purpose and wholeness through Jesus Christ. So we're about helping people to get connected to Jesus, but also helping all people to grow in that relationship. And so that's the movement that we're all invited to be a part of. And so it's one of those things where if you've accepted Christ and God wants you to do that, God wants you, wants to save you and to give you a relationship and also help you find salvation and make you Lord of his life. But if our lives and our relationship with Jesus is in the same place as it's always been, just like when I was growing up, something might be wrong. And so here's the thing. God didn't save you to leave you where you are. In fact, when you accept Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, when you ask Jesus to come into your life, it's not just a passport to get into heaven. It's not one of these things where we just say, all right, I'm done. I've got my stuff stamped by Jesus. And then we wait to go up and see the Father in heaven. It's one of those things where God saves us there, but God also changes us over time. Salvation is something that doesn't, where God just doesn't do a mathematical equation and say, you're good, and leave you where you are. Praise the Lord. Isn't that awesome? That God says, I want to save you and make you new. I want to change your life. I want to grow you to become a mature follower of me. Because growing people change. So God wants you to grow to become that mature follower. I want you to imagine for yourself, first of all, think of yourself, kind of where you are in your relationship with Christ. Think about where you are. Oftentimes, what we do in our refresh groups oftentimes is we'll kind of share a little bit of faith journeys from time to time. And it's helpful to kind of think about it kind of on a line graph. Because most of us, our journeys with Christ are usually not like this, like a straight line or a straight line. It's one of those things where oftentimes there's places, there's dips, and there's peaks, and there's valleys. There's times when maybe we're going through something very, very difficult in our life. What's really, really cool that I've seen in my life is as I've grown in my relationship with Christ, as I've gotten in situations and I've found myself in situations that seem to be points of crisis, sometimes you would expect that my relationship would dip down. But as I've grown in Christ, what I've seen is sometimes in the middle of valleys, God grows my faith, and those end up being the peaks that really help me to be the person that God's created me to be. And so I'll just imagine kind of where you are, and then I want you to imagine what it would look like if you are a mature follower of Christ. Imagine what that would look like for you. Let me give you a few things that kind of come to mind for me. Person of strength. A person who has this unwavering, unshakable personality. This person that can stand on anything. It's one of these, it's these people who, when other people are panicked, when other people seem to kind of, like a flag, get kind of waved with culture and with all the things that go on in people's lives, a person that's mature in their faith stands steady and firm. They know where their truth, they know where their hope is. And what I found for people who are mature in Christ is that you find that people start coming to you. People start looking up to you. People start coming to you for advice. People come to you for comfort. And they see you as a person of strength because they look at you and they say, there's something that they have that I don't have. But that something is not something, it's someone. That someone is Jesus. And so what happens is for people who are mature in Christ, you being who you are and who God's made you to be allows people to say, I want some of that too. I want to find out where I can get that. And it leads people into a growing relationship with Christ. Let me give you an example from my own life. Going into my senior year of high school, I've grown up in church and I kind of had found myself, I was kind of the good Christian kid, I guess you could say, and all that stuff. But I kind of found myself maybe getting in my faith, it was more like a monotonous thing. Just kept going and going with the flow and coming to church and doing the thing. But what I realized, I started seeing in some of my friends, at church, that there was something in them that I knew I had a relationship with Jesus. So it wasn't that I didn't have Jesus and they did, but I saw something in them that I didn't have, that they were mature. They were like, people were looking up to them. They were starting to become leaders in the faith. And God was using them in more powerful ways. And I started looking at where I was and I started saying, you know what? I don't know what that is, but maybe it's because I've been on the sidelines too long in my relationship. And maybe I need to go where they are. And so I started joining with them and doing Bible study stuff with them. I hadn't read the Word a whole lot, gone to Sunday school and heard a lot of sermons, but I hadn't read the Scripture a lot. But I started studying Scripture with them. And what I found is that God started growing me tremendously and opened up so many opportunities for God to use me through that. And so growing in Christ is such an important thing, because growing people change. And so here's kind of why this is important to become mature. You wouldn't give a toddler a chainsaw and tell him to go outside and cut down a tree. That doesn't make any sense, right? You wouldn't give, I wouldn't give my baby Peyton keys to our car and say, hey, Peyton, while you're out, why don't you go pick up some groceries from the store? You don't do stuff like that because they can't handle the power. A child isn't mature enough to handle that kind of power. And so here's the thing. We need God's power working in our life. We need it working in our life. But so many times as Christians, we get stuck or settled in our relationship with God, and we remain in this infant stage in our faith. And that's what Hebrews chapter 5 is trying to say. That's what the writer of Hebrews is trying to accomplish here. He's saying that God wants to give us solid food. Doesn't want us to just be living on milk and the basic things of our faith all the time. But he wants to teach us the deeper truths about him. He wants to grow us up and to show us even more about life and how, and really how he wants to use us in powerful ways in the world. But if we don't grow up in the faith, if we're not growing in that relationship, it limits how much God can entrust us or use us with his power. Just like an infant, you wouldn't give him the keys to the car. God, it limits how much God can use you if you're not growing in that relationship. So God's inviting you to join the movement, to see him working powerfully, moving powerfully in your lives, and moving powerfully through this church to help make an impact in this world, to make disciples of Jesus Christ, to lead people to life, hope, purpose, and wholeness through Jesus. You know, the more mature you are in Christ, the more you can lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus. Oftentimes we say, well, I want to make a difference in the world. When I was in college, maybe you heard this all the time in college, but it was one of those things where people went with so much promise. I want to make a difference in the world. And what I found in my life is so many times we get the cart before the horse. We say, I want to make a difference in the world, but we're not mature enough to have the keys in our hands. See, God wants to grow us up and mature us enough so that we can make that impact, so that Jesus can make that impact through us. Because when we're weak, he's strong, as we sang about. God can sometimes work in our weaknesses. Sometimes I've seen in my life how God, sometimes I've said this, our greatest strengths are anointed weaknesses. Now, it doesn't mean that your strengths aren't strengths, but here's the thing that I've found. God can sometimes come into those places that might seem weak. Some of those opportunities that you may be thrust into that you say, I can't do this. And God can step into the middle of that and say, no, you can't, but I can. And that's what I've seen so many times in my life, how God can work powerfully on our behalf. And so the more mature you are in Christ, the more you can be used by Christ. And so here's the thing. We have to stop settling for being infants and get serious about growing in our faith. So when I played sports, many of you know, I played three sports in high school. And one of the things that I found in sports, so many illustrations for sermons, so many life applications that I found in sports. But our coaches would often encourage us, you might say, to keep growing, keep getting better and better at our craft. And so as a quarterback, they would always tell me, you know, I want you to get more and more and more accurate. And so I'd go out and I'd throw like 100 passes with the same route, and I'd keep doing it over and over and over. And there was a saying that we used to use all the time in sports that says you either get better or worse. You never stay the same. You either get better or worse. You never stay the same. And I think that's so true in sports. I think it's true for any organization, any business. Let's face it, if a business doesn't adapt what they do and doesn't look for how we can stay ahead and how we can keep growing as a company, then businesses close. We see that all the time. I think it's the same thing for churches. Churches have to keep adapting, not the message, but the methods, in order to reach people for Christ, in order to help people to grow in Christ. And so it's one of those things where I think it's the same thing in our relationship with God. Any relationship takes time. It takes personal investment. I'll give an example. My wife, y'all know I love Mandy more than anything. But let's say we date. We have a great dating relationship. I propose, which this is like for real. She said yes and all that stuff. But let's, you know, when she said I do and I said I do almost 5 years ago, what if at that point in that relationship I said, all right, I'm good. I got my wife. Check that box. What if I just said, you know what? I don't need to invest in that anymore. It's one of those things where Mandy would be shocked, like, this is what I'm married into. You don't want to be around me. It's one of those things where we have to keep investing in that relationship. I can't substitute a prior relationship or the prior investments that I've made and let that substitute for a need to continually grow in that relationship. It's the same thing with our relationship with Christ. We can't depend on a prior relationship and a prior closeness to let that just kind of carry us through. So if you want to have a better relationship with Jesus, it happens by growing that relationship. And so growing people change. See, God changes our behavior and our attitudes, our purpose and our love. And here's the thing I found is that sometimes we're funny about change. You don't have to raise your hand, but I think we're all kind of funny about change sometimes. Maybe you hear the title of this message, like, growing people change. Well, I don't know if I want to grow because I don't know if I want to change. Because sometimes we find ourselves and we find ourselves saying, well, if we change, what does that mean? I'm afraid to change. What will that look like? I mean, and so oftentimes we find ourselves avoiding change. When in reality, just like any relationship, your relationship with Christ never stays the same. Yes, you can be saved by Jesus and have assurance that you're saved. But here's the thing. You have to keep investing in that relationship. Because it's either getting better or worse. It never stays the same. You're either getting closer to Jesus in your relationship, or your relationship starts becoming more distant. Not for salvation, but your closeness with God. And so this is why this is so important. And so here's kind of three simple habits. If you're taking notes, this might be helpful to write some of this down. Here's three simple habits that will help you to grow in your relationship with Jesus this year. Because that's what we're talking about, growing in that relationship. The first one is this, reading the Bible. I know that might sound really elementary, going back to Hebrews chapter 5. It's not saying throw away all the elementary things. I think sometimes we have to remember the keys to growing in the Lord. Reading the word. Deuteronomy 17:19 says this, the word is to be with him, and he is to read it all the days of his life, so that he may learn to revere the Lord his God and follow carefully all the words of this law and these decrees. So what it's saying is we're to read the word regularly and daily. Read the word regularly and daily. One of the things I found helpful in my life is as I'm reading the word, as I'm coming across important or high-impact verses, to memorize those things. Memorize those verses, because what happens is even if the word isn't with you, even if you're not carrying a Bible with you, the word's in you if you've memorized stuff. And so sometimes when you're going through something, the word of God will creep up in your mind, something that you've memorized, and you'll say, oh yeah, Lord, you're speaking to me in this way. And so God's word starts speaking to you. And so I want to encourage you to start memorizing verses of Scripture. Another thing, as you're reading Scripture, to meditate on the Scripture. Think about, as you're reading it, say, what is this? What are you trying to say in the Scripture? And then what are you trying to say to me? And most importantly, how can I apply this to my life? Because we're not supposed to be just hearers of the Word, but doers of the Word. So how can I apply this to my life? In fact, one of the most helpful ways that I've found in reading the Bible is to have a regular reading plan. You know, how many of you, well, you don't have to raise your hand. I'll confess, as your pastor, I've been, for so many years, here was my plan for reading the Word, the flip method. Like, and I would just kind of pick something. And it was almost like, all right, God, you speak through the flip, right? Maybe you've done that before. I see y'all laughing, like, you know, I'm admitting, hey, I've done that before. So here's the thing. Sometimes, like, we just kind of do the flip method, or maybe we don't know where to start. But a reading plan is really, really helpful. And so if you have a smartphone, it's okay to use technology and stuff like that. If you have a smartphone, there's an awesome app called the YouVersion Bible app. It's amazing. It's got all these different translations and stuff like that. It's basically called the Bible, but it's by YouVersion. It's a little brown Bible. You probably have seen it before. If you haven't, I encourage you to take care to do that. But there's all these sorts of reading plans under the YouVersion Bible app of all different shapes and sizes. You can go through a particular book. You can go read the Bible in a year, all sorts of things. Just go to plans, and it can actually ding your phone and say, hey, you're supposed to read this today. So that's just a really cool tool to kind of stay accountable and stuff like that. It's a great resource. One of the things that I do, I'm letting you in on some of my devotional time. Sometimes I find myself in traffic, right? Stuck in traffic. And it's kind of one of those things where it's like, I don't want to just waste this time. Maybe you're driving somewhere with your family. Maybe you're by yourself going to work or something. What I do with that Bible app is I'll actually open up the audio part at the bottom of the screen, and you can actually play it and let it read to you. Isn't that really cool? You don't have to do any work. You just drive and you hear the word. And it's one of those things. I was doing that yesterday. I do that all the time as a way to kind of be in the word. And obviously, you should pick up the Bible yourself and stuff, but that's a really good tool for you. But reading the word is kind of like going to the gym. I think it's hard to do it consistently if you're doing it alone. It's hard to do it consistently if you're doing it alone. And so I want to challenge you as a church to let's start a reading plan together. I want to invite you to do this. You don't have to, but I want to encourage you to do it. And instead of saying we're going to read the Bible in a whole year, let's start in small chunks and we'll move from there. I want to encourage you. The Gospel of John is a great place to start. It's very readable. It's 21 chapters. And so I want to encourage you starting tomorrow to open up the Gospel of John. And as a church, let's go through a chapter a day. And let's see what God does as we're reading this together, and as God grows us together as we read that. So a chapter a day, pretty easy stuff. And if you have questions, you've got other people that are reading it alongside of you as a church. So I encourage you to do that. John, go through a chapter a day. And so, and as you're reading it, think about kind of how you can apply it to your life and all that stuff. Just pick a time of day, whether it's a morning, night, maybe when you have a babysitter, when the kids are asleep, whatever, and you can kind of do it from there. But we're going to see how much God grows us from doing it. So reading the word, that's one of the ways. Second way that you can grow in your relationship with Christ is through prayer. And this may seem really simple, but prayer is just talking with God. It's like you would talk to a friend on the phone. I think sometimes we get hung up about prayer, like, am I going to get it right? Like, what if I say something wrong to God? Like, that's like a big deal. Like, you know, I can say something wrong to my friend, but what if I get the words wrong and then, you know, and all this stuff? You know, it's just like any relationship. In order to grow in any relationship, you have to communicate. And so that's really what prayer is, communicating with God. And so the Bible tells us that there's power when we pray. Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. It's something about coming into a relationship with Christ, but I think it also tells us about the power of prayer. Knock and ask and seek, and God will open that door. And so here's the thing I found in my life. When stuff happens when people pray, because when we pray, it's kind of like we're starting the engine of the car, of the power of God in our lives. And also, prayer, when we start praying, you start praying things according to God's will. It's a way to put Jesus in the center of everything you're going through. And so maybe you're going through something in your business or in your family, and you start praying. It's one of the ways that you can place Jesus in the center of that situation and say, Jesus, I want you to be all in this. I want you to help me in this. And so here's kind of the key to prayer. Here's the simple steps. Just do it. Just start. You don't have to get everything right. Here's the thing. If you're just sincere, then you're getting it right. It's one of those things where Jesus doesn't want us to mask our prayers with so much religiously fancy language that doesn't match the way we talk. Jesus wants us to just be real, and he wants to hear from us. And so you may pray something like, God, I want you to help me here. I don't even know like what needs to happen, but I pray that you help me in this situation. Or God, my friend really needs help right here. That there's healing that's needed. I pray that you would heal this person. It doesn't have to be anything fancy, but you just pray the way you would talk and ask God. But the worst mistake you can make about prayer is just not praying. So I want to encourage you to read the word and to pray. And the third thing, this is kind of the way that we want to partner with you as a church to help grow you up in the Lord. The third thing is this. One of the ways we support you in growing in Christ is through small groups. We call them refresh groups here at the Fountain. And we say it like this all the time. It's kind of like, we say it like this. You can't do life alone. You can't do life alone. I mean, you can try to do life alone, but it gets really lonely. And it's one of those things where if you get left alone, you get picked off. If you get left alone, you get discouraged. If you get left alone, it's one of those things where it's hard to grow alone. It's like being a part of a team. When you're a part of a team, in sports or something like that, you can do so many more things as a team than you can do by yourself. It's the same thing with groups. And so really doing life together and our relationship with God is not supposed to be an individual pursuit. You grow better when you've got other people growing with you and watching your back. And so as a church, We're going to keep growing bigger and bigger. We're going to keep reaching more people for Christ. It's one of those things. But as we grow bigger, refresh groups are a way that we can also grow smaller, that we can stay connected, that we can have intimate relationships with people. And I love that the Fountain is known as a friendly church. I hope you've encountered that, that it's a friendly church. We say one of our purposes, one of our core values here at the Fountain is we welcome others the way God welcomed us. And we don't always get it right. If nobody spoke to you today, I'm sorry. Sometimes we get it wrong. But it's one of those things where we want to try and strive in everything we do to welcome others the way God first welcomed us. And it's one of those things where I'm glad that we're known as a friendly church. But you don't need just a friendly church to just come to worship. You need friends. You need people that you're connected with and doing life together. And what I found is we also need close Christian friendships. And so what you may not know is about 80% of the adults that attend the Fountain are connected in a refresh group. People are growing. People are growing together. And so I would love for you to have that experience too. So here's kind of what you do in refresh groups, just to let you know. Here's what you do, and here's kind of why we believe in them. Refresh groups are modeled after the Bible, after the biblical example of kind of how the early church grew together and they grew in the Lord. That's kind of the purpose of refresh groups. You grow in your relationship with God, and you grow also together. And the early Methodists, the Wesley brothers and all the early Methodists, they followed this biblical example as well. They would meet in homes, just like in the early church, and they would invest in one another spiritually. They would support one another in prayer and all sorts of things. And this is kind of what we do as well, so it's modeled after that. And the early church model, Acts 2:42, it says this: they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And so that's kind of the model of what we do in refresh groups. The refresh groups devote themselves to studying the Word of God together. Sometimes we read it directly and just go straight through a book. Sometimes we go through a particular study, but we invest in the Word together. We also make friends together, fellowship. You know, the cool thing that I found is when you're growing in your relationship with Christ alongside of other people, those are often the friendships that you end up getting closer with. You can know somebody for a long time. I've seen this in my life. You can know people for a long, long, long time. But if you're growing together in the Lord with other people, you find that you grow closer to those people because it's a deeper rooted friendship. And so that's another thing. We also talk about how they broke bread together. A lot of the refresh groups have food, some kind of drinks. In fact, if you're a part of a refresh group that has some kind of like drinks or food, you could just raise your hand. Yeah, so we like to eat, and that's okay. That's a good thing. There's something, it's in the Bible, y'all. You know, like the whole thing about, you know, Christians love food. It's in the Bible. It's good. I think it helps the fellowship and the community. In fact, some groups love hanging out so much that after the group's over, they pick out another day, and they go out to dinner together, and they kind of do life together. And the last thing is they commit to pray for one another. You know, it's one of those things where you can pray when you're by yourself, but there's something special about people praying for you. People supporting you. And so people do that. So one of the things that I've loved to see is I love to see when people are supporting one another like that, not only in prayer, but sometimes people have, give you an example, people have gone in the hospital for surgery or for having a baby or for whatever, or something's really tough going on in their life. It's usually the refresh groups who are stepping up and are saying, hey, we're praying for you. Sometimes they go and see them. They, you know, sometimes bring food to them and stuff like that. And so it's one of those things where this is why we really want people to get connected in a refresh group, because it's not just something that grows you in the Lord. It also connects you with one another. It helps you to be supported. They also do mission projects together and stuff like that. So I want to encourage you to get connected in a refresh group this season. To get connected so you can grow in your relationship with Christ. So the three things: read the Bible. We already talked about the Gospel of John. Pray, and also get connected in a group. And these kind of are spiritual practices, exercises. They're kind of like working out. They're not glamorous. They're fairly simple. And it's not really easy to maintain, but they really help you to grow stronger and to grow up in the Lord and to become the man or woman God's created you to be. You know, God doesn't ever, in our relationship with Christ, God doesn't usually just take a wand and say, poof, and make you into this mature Christian. It takes time. It takes growing in that relationship. So I want to encourage you to take those opportunities to grow in maturity with Christ, to invest in that relationship. Let me pray for you. God, we thank you so much that you came for us, that you wanted to grow us in our relationship with you. God, we know that growing people change. And so, Lord, I pray for every single person today that wherever we are in a relationship with Christ, that we would find ourselves growing in you, not by osmosis and just being around, but that you would grow us in our relationship as we invest in it. God, I pray for every single one of us that we would be encouraged to get in your word and to understand better who you are through it. God, I pray that you would allow us to talk to you more frequently, talk to you every day through prayer. I also pray, God, that every single person will have an opportunity to have people to watch their back, have a group that can support them in their relationship with Christ, whether it's another discipleship group or here at the Fountain. We just want to pray that people would grow in their relationship. But God, if for some of us, we may be looking and saying, you know, I haven't even started that yet. I haven't even started that relationship. Maybe you can pray something like this if you'd like to start that relationship today. God, I know that I need you. I don't know, have all the answers. I don't have it all together. But God, I know that I need you in my life. And God, I don't really know what all this means, but I want to surrender my life to you. I want to ask you to become my Lord, to lead my life. And I pray that you would save me of my sins. Allow me to be a different person because of you. And so, Lord, as you pour into these people today, God, I pray that you would allow us to grow in our relationship no matter where we are, no matter where we're starting, that we would grow to maturity in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Mm-hmm.